OG Podcast Network presents.
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mindy's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even the superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats. Beep you.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti. And with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks, Mr. P. Features.
Hello, Internet.
And then there's Mauer!
Beep you.
Let me see how long I can hold this. Oh, I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Beep you?
Yes, beep you.
I could have kept that going.
Want to try again?
But I just started getting like faces.
Are you sure?
I mean, look, I have no problem with it, but I have a feeling that nobody wants to hear me just scream your name for a while.
I do.
I kind of realized what
say
I said
my name.
After I said it.
Scream my name, baby.
That was really uncomfortable. Well, welcome to the Saturday show. I'm just going to move past that. If you're new around here, that's where we don't talk about the news.
The new news.
It's gotten to a point where just saying news. I'll get to him. Mauer's pointed the fact that he's two here. He just ruined my big hello for you. I was gonna
continue.
I was gonna make a whole thing out of it, but look, baby Huey's here. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for the letdown, Mauer.
Cool. All
right. Beep you.
What's going on?
There we go. Was that better?
No.
You just unnecessarily screamed beat you. That's it.
Is it really unnecessary with me?
Always.
Okay.
Seeing as how we know what you mean. All right. So what we wanted to do today, it's shocking, I'm sure, but we wanted to talk about the Captain Marvel movie.
No.
So here is my spoiler review for you now. This is the spoiler alert, spoiler warning, spoilers ahead. There's no spoiler on my car.
But,
there's no spoiled milk in the fridge. Spoilers ahead.
I didn't see the movie.
Spoiled. And it's gonna be spoiled because we know you don't care.
Good job, Mauer.
Spoiled.
All right, true.
I mean, be honest with you.
Let's go.
So who saw the movie? I saw the movie.
I saw the
You
movie.
Know what? My opinion probably would be the same as if I saw it.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I'm funny. Anyway. What's up?
No, nothing.
Huh?
What?
So okay. Captain Marvel.
You just ruined everything. Like I was on your side for a second there too. Yeah. You let me down, man.
You are a letdown.
Just let that hold for a second. Make it really uncomfortable.
Let me down.
I just want to caress you. All right.
Higher.
All right. Stop. Okay. Let's get back
Say
on
my
topic.
Name.
Look, we're only 3 minutes in, and I know how bad this is gonna get. So let's corral it.
All right.
So Captain Marvel's out. It's crushing it at the box office. What was the stat?
Sixth highest MCU opening, highest March opening.
Yeah, I mean it's wild.
Its competition was fierce. With nothing. Like there was no other.
There was nothing.
You know,
I want to
say Marvel at this point is never going to have competition because they pick a date and everybody goes, nope.
Yep.
Nope.
So I'm not
going to gamble that movie's going to suck.
What was Batman v Superman was going up against Winter Soldier, and then Batman v Superman backed out?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a wise decision.
Sure, but still, when you think, like we talked about this on the show, if you've got the two biggest names in all of comic books, and they went, nah, Cap, you got this. Don't worry about it. You got a Cap. So, anyway, let's go to another Cap. Let's talk about Captain Marvel.
Who?
Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
The movie that came out. The one that we're going to talk about. The one that we're going to spoil.
All right. Okay.
All right. So, first off, let's just do what we always do. Because there's other things I want to talk about with this movie. But let's just round robin and just give our quick initial thoughts.
It sucks.
Mauer.
Yes, Jay Sherman. Everything sucks.
It sucked.
All right. Features.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Better than what I thought it was going to be. We all have agreed that Carol Danvers is kind of a blah character. But Brie Larson actually did some justice to the role a little bit that she could do.
Wow. Jeez. Wow, you're just getting...
No, it was a good movie.
Like, I know you're trying to be nice, but you just
That's really
sound,
just me doing
so
a...
so jaded.
It's me doing a features impression and just speaking for him, it sounds.
All right, Baby Huey.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did.
All right, Menti Jr.
That's exactly what I'm about to say. Wow. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did.
Well, that's just Baby Huey saying your opinion for you.
So,
Patrick, I used to talk over him. So, yeah, there we go.
Cool.
Menti, your thoughts?
So I really enjoyed the movie a lot more than I thought I did. Here's the thing with, I mean, the truth is because as we know from our last get to know Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers show, we're none of us are big Carol Danvers fans. That's no surprise. Not one of us here is like, you know, stoked for Carol Danvers. So going into it with my low expectations, this is the best Carol Danvers I've ever seen.
Well, and I think.
And that includes. Well, no, that doesn't. That includes Movie Rogue. I think she's cooler than Movie Rogue. Not like Comic Rogue, but
like
Movie
Anna
Rogue.
Paquin?
Yeah.
So what I'm realizing is this is not creating new comic Captain Marvel fans.
No.
This is people being a fan of MCU Captain Marvel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And MCU Captain Marvel is really cool.
Compared to comic Captain Marvel.
Yes. Yeah. But no, I mean, look, she earns her place in the Avengers roster. I will say that. Although,
is
again,
she able to carry the weight that Cap's carrying right now?
We'll find out.
Oh, Captain, my Captain, you know.
We'll find out. We don't know. Not enough has happened. But when she does show up with the rest of the team, you're like, okay.
So Marvel has this really interesting way of intertwining characters, and you get a different feel for them when they're by themselves as opposed to when they have them in a group setting. It's kind of like the same way when you were first introduced to T'Challa, right? Different feel for him from when you get the actual Black Panther film.
Yeah, I love T'Challa in Civil War, though.
Yeah, no, great.
He was. I liked T'Challa's performance in Civil War maybe even more than Black Panther because you felt for him so much.
Well, his dad just died. I mean, how can you
not
feel for
him? That's what I mean. And you could see it in his face with very little emotion. Like, he was so deadpan, but you can still feel it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look, he's...
That was just a better movie, though,
Chadwick Boseman is just a great, great actor.
Yeah.
It just goes to Chadwick Boseman.
He's great. That script, though, like, that movie was written... Every character in Civil War was written really, really well.
Right.
I don't think there was a weak point of that movie.
Exactly.
At all.
But this is what I'm saying. Her being, like, we all know at this point, she's probably going to be in Endgame.
What?
No.
What are you talking about? That was the whole mid-credit
tease. We probably know.
Okay, got it. let's drag this joke out.
So, scratched probably, she's going to be in Avengers Endgame. So the way they write characters in the films, plus there's going to be more emotional content behind her due to her relationship with Fury, and now he's gone.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, mother.
Flarkin?
Mm-hmm. Flarkin.
Flarkin?
Flarkin.
Flarkin, Flarkin.
Yep. Okay, so let's first just give a quick breakdown on how this tried to tackle her convoluted history.
Woo-hoo.
And
if you don't know
sensible.
Her convoluted history, please go back to last week's Saturday issue.
Because even that didn't do the justice to that convoluted history.
No.
I feel like that's the name of this issue.
Convoluted history.
But this does a good job, in my opinion, of taking Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
Mar-Vell,
right,
and then Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers,
mm-hmm.
and then her crazy, ridiculous span of Miss Marvel into Avengers, into X-Men, into Captain Marvel, like that wildly long
convoluted history.
Yeah, and then
I'm really excited. Can you guys tell me how awesome Mar-Vell was in the movie?
Mar-Vell was fine.
Yeah.
Mar-Vell
played a significant role.
Really good to see him on screen.
Mar-Vell was just like Hank Pym for Ant-Man.
That's awesome.
That's what you have to think of
Mar-Vell. So was it Jude Law? Did he end up being Mar-Vell?
Well, we know it's not because Yon Rogg. We've already seen that.
Yeah.
I get the joke that you're trying to make. Misogyny Maurer is upset that she was gender swapped. That's really what this is. That's it. So Mar-Vell is a woman.
Yes.
In this. And it makes sense for Carol Danvers. And it fixes the problem that Carol Danvers had when she was originally introduced.
Which we spoke on in issue last week.
Saturday.
Words. Last week. So, okay, quick breakdown. Very fast. When she was first introduced to be the powerful female character that she was intended to be to combat with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Instead, nothing was selling, so they just turned her into a love interest.
Yeah. Right?
Pretty much.
So Mar-Vell not being a man takes that away.
Yes.
It takes away any potential of changing her approach and Mar-Vell being strictly a mentor.
But Mar-Vell does have a good amount of fans.
Sure, absolutely. But so does Hank Pym.
Yeah.
They just went with a decision to go with Carol Danvers because of the comics.
Right.
And she has a fan base now. The one thing you can't deny is that Carol Danvers in the comics now is way more popular than she's ever been.
True.
This before the movies. When she took the mantle as Captain Marvel, that changed everything. She all of a sudden became, I mean, I still think she was bland, but she became a front runner. As far as comic sales with Marvel is concerned. Right? I'm not going to go with like Harley Quinn, fourth pillar.
Oh, no.
But I will say that there was no concern that she was going to get canceled. We'll put it that way.
Right. Okay.
Well, that, at the time they were putting her on the Avengers and all the other teams, her Alpha Flight.
It's because they probably knew this was coming. This moment was going
to
happen.
I mean, right. Not to mention she's been playing a lot of significant roles in a lot of the major story arcs.
Right.
But here, take for example, and honestly, she since becoming Captain Marvel, she kind of took the same road that Iron Man did. Right. Iron Man being in Civil War, everyone hating him because he's the bad guy, and so much they were concerned that they had to redo him in Extremis.
Right.
Right, because the movies were coming out and they were scared that nobody was going to like him. Captain Marvel, same thing. Civil War 2. Captain Marvel is this bland, horrible character that everybody hated. And then they had to revamp her to make sure that she was cool before the movie. And an easy way to do that is throw on as many teams as possible. They Wolverined her.
Yep.
Or they Deadpooled her.
No.
Or they Spider-Maned
her.
Wolverine is way worse than all of them.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was Marvel's whore for a while. It's true. I mean, they put him on everything. But Wolverine still takes the creme de la creme.
The whore standard.
The whore standard.
He's the madam.
He's the Madam Veen.
Madam Wolverine.
Wolver-Madam? Madam Veen?
Madam Vereen?
So,
oh, God.
I don't know.
But you're saying the Mar-Vell swap worked?
For the movie.
Yeah.
Contextually, it worked for the movie.
It definitely worked.
Here's the thing. Yon-Rogg is the arch nemesis of Captain Marvel. Right. In this, the Mar-Vell Captain Marvel.
Right.
In this, it is not. It is, he's the arch nemesis of Carol Danvers. So that was a merging of those two characters.
So they basically also merged Mar-Vell with Captain Marvel in this?
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
So they, they Green Lanterned it a little bit?
A little bit. Yep. So you're talking about merging Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner.
Rayner into one.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. And this is about Captain Marvel himself.
Mar-Vell. Just say Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell. Okay. Mar-Vell. How many of us alive, and I've noticed still a lot of us, but how many of us alive actually, like, do we remember Mar-Vell, really?
My connection to Mar-Vell at this point was a couple cartoons.
He was in a cartoon?
Mm-hmm. He was in a couple cartoons.
Wow.
But even then, they were short-lived, and I know him as the guy who stayed dead.
Right.
He's the character who did not come back.
So,
and he was a character with tons of power that stayed dead. Which is unique for Marvel. Like, normally those kind of power hitters are like, all right, you're dead, but give us a week. We're going to bring you back.
Right.
With Mar-Vell, they killed him. It had a lasting impression, I think. It almost had the martyr effect on him, where his character became even more important because of his death.
Yeah.
So they've kept him dead.
Hmm. He might be the only comic character that actually stayed dead.
Him and Uncle Ben.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, going back into like the psych magic magnetron, which is what gave her powers in the
Psychotron.
Comics, it was not. I mean, they merged that essentially with the Tesseract.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. So the Tesseract plays a role in this and explains how S.H.I.E.L.D. got the Tesseract from at the end of Captain America.
I wonder how Mar-Vell had gotten the Tesseract.
That's a better question. I'd love to know the answer how Mar-Vell got her hands now. This is still new for me, people.
Last we saw, Howard Stark had the Tesseract, and now it ended up in Mar-Vell's hands. So I would like to see how that happened.
Well, this is before. How War Stark.
No, he got lost. The Tesseract.
World War II?
The Tesseract got lost in the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Howard Stark found it.
Okay.
And then started Pegasus.
And he was in S.H.I.E.L.D. though.
Yep. Yes. And then it was taken from Pegasus. Mar-Vell took it.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Mar-Vell took it. Right. Okay. Right.
And, yep. I don't remember this, but I keep seeing this pop up online. Iron Man 2 talked about Pegasus.
Yep.
Yes, it
Iron
did.
Man 2 also talked about the, what project? With Project Goliath.
Which paid off in Ant-Man and Wasp.
And then there's one less.
There's one more we haven't heard about yet.
Maybe Spider-Man.
Might be even maybe. Endgame.
Iron Man 2 supposedly is like the Easter egg trove that keeps on giving because it mentions everything. And you go, oh, crap.
That goes all the way back to then? No way.
So, I mean, it's good to see that they...
They pay homage.
They pay homage.
And everything's done in a very...
Exodus is the last one.
Everything's done well. Like, there's not a bad... I can't sit here and complain too much about the movie except for that it's Carol Danvers. And it's not that she was bad. It's just years and years and years of preconditioned hate for Carol Danvers. Well, you know what I mean? I can't even say hate. I just don't care. It was like when Thor would show up in books before the movies came out. I didn't care about Thor. Like,
so how about Nick Fury? Midriff
Thor.
Nick Fury is Nick Fury.
He was good. He was Nick Fury. Yeah. Exactly what you would expect him to be.
Was the de-aging annoying in it?
Not at all. Didn't even notice it. Not at all.
Just notice his hair.
Yeah.
A lot more hair.
Didn't Sam bother. Jackson with a wig. You know what that is.
Yeah, Sam Jackson, he was fine. He was definitely fine. And there was no, there. Again, I can't pinpoint a thing that I really had an issue with.
But you can't also pinpoint something that you loved.
Oh, there's things I loved about it. But at the end of the day,
still
this
care.
Is like Aquaman.
The Flarkin.
Like, this is why I still haven't seen Aquaman. Because I know it's good. I know people like it. But I just don't care about Aquaman. I would like to say I do, but I'm not rushing to go see this. It's like when Maurer, when you said you didn't see this movie, I wasn't shocked because it's like, all right, it's Captain Marvel. It's like if this was a Spider-Man movie and you said you didn't see it, I'd go, what?
Well, he did that with
Captain Marvel.
I mean, how long did it take him to see Ant-Man?
But I'll put it this way: when Captain Marvel 2 comes out, I'm going to be excited.
Okay, yeah.
Does that feel? Yeah. It's a fun.
Well,
movie.
For me, my relation to this is Ant-Man because it took me forever to see it, and I finally watched it. I was like, I didn't love it, but
it's fun.
Okay, I get why other people liked it. So when the second one came out, I remember like I was excited for the second one, and I actually really enjoyed the second one because I think I had more excitement for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I can kind of connect that to what everybody thinks of Captain Marvel right now is great, Captain Marvel.
And here's the thing: I'm excited for her future. I'm excited that this is the Captain Marvel we're gonna get from now on, since Marvel seems to want to emulate the movies over the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we got: Brie Larson's snarkiness is now what Captain Marvel is going to be like. Because Brie Larson was fun.
Yeah,
she was.
Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room about all the negative press this is getting? Did this have a preachy feel to it?
Not at all.
Was it hating everyone and shoving things in your face? Or were you able to enjoy it without...
If it was a guy who went through that, it would have still been just as cool. Like, there's nothing about the movie that is overly preachy in any which way. It's her getting up. That's all it is. It's when she gets knocked down, she gets back up. It shows her strength.
And that could be anybody.
Right. So it's awesome the way that they did it. I love the fact that they took the love story out. I love the fact that we don't need a love story in this movie. She stands on her own, right? And that's, I think that's the important part about this, is that although it is important for what it represents to women, and it's important what it represents. Like, I thought of my niece the entire time watching this movie.
Emmy's gonna love that movie.
Is she gonna win?
Flying around as Captain Marvel, I guarantee you.
So you think she's gonna like it more than she liked Wonder Woman?
Yeah, Wonder Woman's a bit dark. I think at the end of the day, Wonder Woman's a better movie.
Okay,
Wonder Woman, I still think is a better movie than Captain Marvel is. Captain Marvel's more fun though. Wonder Woman's hard. It's a hard, like, there's some really rough scenes in Wonder Woman. Like, the war scenes at all, it's dark. Captain Marvel is pretty lighthearted the whole time.
Now, I hear there was some, subliminal homages to Star Wars in this. Like, they said, there's people that said some of the space scenes, you could tell, like, they wanted to tie into the history of space movies. Did it feel that way, or did it feel Marvel-y?
I couldn't tell that.
No, not. I don't think so. I do want to make sure we talk about Stan, though.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Stan.
Oh, let's start first with the intro to the movie.
The best way
to
do a Stan Lee homage was the intro of that movie.
Is that the permanent opening?
I don't think so.
It'll go back. But it hurt.
It'll probably be for Endgame, too.
I smiled and teared up. I mean, it was so well
for
done.
For those of us that haven't seen it, want to tell me what it was?
So, you know how we have our normal Marvel intro? Right, the normal one where it shows all the different scenes from the movie.
So instead of scenes from the movie, you're getting like different Stan Lee cameos as well as some extra footage.
Literally every video they use is Stan.
Yeah.
And then it just says, thank you, Stan, at the end. It's so classy and well done without being...
How many people ugly cried when you were there?
Oh, you mean this theater's dark? I don't know, but I definitely...
I heard sniffles. Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of people in the theater when I went, and I don't think they were as connected to it as maybe like I would have been. Because I was like the only person that was like, yeah, with the
Hell
thumbs
yeah,
up.
Stan.
I got choked up.
I definitely shed a thug tear for that one, though.
All right. So let's talk about the cameo.
The cameo.
Hands down, best Stan Lee cameo since the movie it was talking about.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you guys take over this.
Here's the thing. I want to talk about what it means. So first.
Talk about the cameo. I'm going to talk to the reaction to the cameo from.
Here's the thing. This cameo was so well done because it's 1995 and Mallrats came out in 1995 and had the best Stan Lee cameo of any one. I mean, arguably the best Stan Lee cameo.
Yes.
So Stan Lee is on the bus when she punches the old lady in the trailer, reading the script and practicing his lines for Mallrats.
That's amazing.
So that means Kevin Smith. That means Mallrats. That means Stan Lee are all continuity. Are all in continuity for the MCU,
which also means Spider-Man and Hulk were continuity before they were.
You have no filter on you at all.
Hold on,
like there's a thing called timing, baby Huey, and you gotta learn it.
He's excited.
So before you get into that,
stop for a second.
So it seems to be the consensus that Kevin Smith didn't know about it.
That's awesome.
When he went to go see it, he was like, "I've been spending all these years quoting Marvel and Stan in my movies, and they just mentioned me," and he was like, and you could see like his face, he's a crier, but his face was super red and you could still see the tears dripping down when he walked out. Like, it meant a lot to him, especially the friendship he had with it. And then when he saw it again with his daughter, and I didn't think about this, like Kevin Smith's daughter, that was like Uncle Stan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I don't need a paternity test. When the opening credits come in and I look over and my daughter's making the same ugly cry face that I'm making, that's my kid. So I think it was nice, whether it's they told him about or not, him seeing it for the first time, like that homage, I think, is everything that we kind of talked about that we feel like Kevin carries forward.
They've confirmed Stan Lee cameos in Endgame and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So we're not done with Stan Lee cameos.
No.
Yeah, just drag this out a little bit longer, make us cry.
So you think that that intro is going to last for at least those next three?
I don't think so. I think it was just this one.
Because I think it'd be Endgame at least. It's a couple months away, or a month away.
I think it'll go back to the original. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Take bets.
So Stan's there. Last time we saw him, what was his cameo?
Well, here. Forget that. I want to go back to the thing that Baby Huey so impatiently rushed to because it changes a lot. So Kevin Smith, Mallrats, being a part of it, what does he talk about in Mallrats?
Things Orange Dork.
So Thing. Brody even says, you created the greats, Spider-Man, the Hulk, right? And Stan goes, yes, right? Okay. So if Stan created them, and we've seen him in every single movie, who does that make him in the MCU?
Who?
We all originally said, remember we did a whole episode where we thought he was Uatu the Watcher, right? So for anyone unaware of Uatu the Watcher, it's a race of, we saw them in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when he was talking to them, they just watched major events happen. So we all thought that was the case, and then Guardians made us think that was the case. But who does this make him now?
Do
you see where I'm going here?
The one before.
So, all right, in the Fantastic Four comics, when Reed meets this person I'm referring to, he opens the door and it's Jack Kirby.
Right.
Right. Jack Kirby being this comic, the version of this character in the comics.
Right.
Stan Lee being the one above all in the movies is the coolest idea in my opinion.
I think so, especially with the tie to Kirby.
So who's the one above all?
Jack Kirby.
The creator of pretty much everything.
But he's God.
Yeah.
He is the most powerful being in all of Marvel Comics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's only shown up a handful of times. But he is God. So it would make a lot of sense that these all of these cameos being tied together, as well as him being the creator of our favorite characters, making him the one above all. That is my theory.
That's brilliant.
Love it.
Do we think they had that much thought into it?
Or? It doesn't matter. This is one of those when George Lucas was talking to J.J. Abrams about Lost. You ever hear this story?
No.
So J.J. Abrams is going like, how do you do it? Because that move, that show gets so convoluted out of nowhere.
Lost.
And yeah. And you get lost and lost. George Lucas goes, just pretend like you knew what you were doing the whole time. Just pretend. So that's what he did.
Well, the Watcher thing was because fans wanted that theory, and that's why James Gunn threw it in there.
And it was the first one to ruin continuity. You know what he was originally supposed to say? Instead of I was a UPS driver, I worked at a strip club to tie it to Deadpool.
Ha ha, that would've been
and
great.
Then Fox wouldn't let him do it.
Oh, really?
From what I understand, Fox wouldn't let him do it. Now, it could be Marvel put the kibosh on that as well.
And they just blame Fox.
Right. But from what I understand, it was Fox, yeah.
You know how I feel about Fox, so.
They also probably didn't want to mention strip club.
Probably not.
And Guardians, too.
And Guardians?
They could have just said, used to work at a club.
Yeah. Or, you know, or
a gentleman's club.
A gentleman's club, there it is.
All right, so you guys all really enjoyed it.
It's worth your time.
It elevated Captain Marvel above boring.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited for Carol Danvers in the MCU.
Yeah.
I'm not excited for Carol Danvers in the comics, in the MCU.
I am excited to see her and how big or how significant her role is going to be in Endgame.
Well, so let's talk about her overpowered skill
set.
She's
not overpowered. Everyone just kills me. And I think Maurer did this just because he knew I'm going to freak out.
Bro.
This is bothering me because everyone keeps going, she's so OP. It's ridiculous how powerful she is. She flew right through a Kree ship. Okay, cool. What did Thor do in Avengers?
He flew through a ship.
Forget flying through. He literally just went to the top of a building and took some lightning and took out like 20 different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
She's not that OP. She is powerful. She's very powerful. I'll even give you she's the most powerful on the team because Kevin Feige said so. But it's not like we haven't seen this level of power already.
Right.
So with the caricature that they've made of Thor at this point in the MCU, I'm just looking forward to the two of them meeting.
I can't wait for her to be able to, because she's snarky as hell. I can't wait for her to be with a lot of the characters.
So her being snarky and him being like, he knows he's a god and he's more powerful than everybody, meeting the first person ever that he might not be more powerful than, is going to be a fun interaction.
They need an arm wrestling match.
That'd be great. She takes the name, the strongest Avenger. she becomes strongest Avenger. Oh, can we also, my least two favorite things of the movie?
What's that?
Shoehorning the Avengers name in there.
Oh, okay.
At the end.
Yeah, didn't like that.
So her call sign.
Was Carol the Avenger?
Carol Avenger.
So she's the first Avenger?
Technically.
No.
She's not. Cap's the first Avenger. Avenger was her tag name.
He literally is writing. What is he? What was it called?
He's writing the Avenger.
The Defender. Not Defenders.
It was
anyway.
Words.
A whole different name. Protocol. The something protocol.
Initiative.
Initiative.
Protector.
The Protector.
Yeah, Protector. Initiative. And then he looks at her picture and sees that it says Carol Avenger Danvers, and he changes it to Avengers.
Lame.
You don't have to make it. You don't have to, like, all right, whatever.
That's and the next lame thing, can I guess what it is?
Yeah.
The Farkin taking the eye out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty lame.
Yeah, it was lame.
I would have enjoyed that better if it was the actual Flarkin that took the eye out.
Flarkin was amazing.
Yeah.
It was.
Did it look like the comic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
But
you will not be disappointed. The only downside is that all of us knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So it's like the whole time I'm like, all right, Squid Monster.
That's a Flarkin. That's a little kitty cat.
Yeah,
but the best is that Nick Fury just holding the cat like a gun. That's my favorite part. Holding him back with a cat. I loved.
Well, shouldn't just casually hold that thing.
Do something.
All right. So two thumbs up from everybody. One thumb up.
I'll give it a thumb.
Solid. Yeah.
I give it a thumb and a pinky.
Okay.
I'll give him one of these.
Nobody can see what you're doing, but okay.
I'm putting up a thumb and a pinky.
All right, baby Huey.
I'm giving two thumbs up. I really liked it.
Thumb and a pointer.
And a pointer.
Where did we find these guys?
Let's just every time we go, we do this. Let's just make up a new thing. I'll give it 4 gold stars, a thumbs up, and a can of Coke. I don't know what it means, but it gets those.
I'm giving a can of orange vanilla Coke because I really like that right now.
I give a liter cola.
That's not product placement, although Coke.
Coke, if you're listening.
I give a liter cola.
Leader cola.
So top 5 Marvel movies, top 10.
It's snug, not top 5.
It's snug in the middle.
Yeah. So that 15 to 20 area. How many do we have now?
100.
I would say it's top 10.
I'd say
10 to 15.
It's not top 5.
No.
It's within.
It's definitely not top 5.
No, it's in within 5 to 10.
Towards the bottom.
Towards the bottom. It's in the middle. It's right in the middle. It's snug.
We got to revisit that list then.
We do. I don't.
We want to. Yeah.
Well, after Endgame, we'll probably do a full
7-hour show. Well, just reviewing the entire MCU.
Just a kind of quick recap of, because that's the end of our.
That's going to be the end of our era.
End of volume 1?
Volume 1, yeah.
You want to call it that?
I guess the end of phase 3 will be the end of volume 1.
I'm just trying to think about what that would look like as a trade.
Like, what does that movie the thud like that would make, boom!
Like it's a Blu-ray, but it's like the size of a laser disc.
It's when you go up to somebody like you only got a few for books to read to catch up.
For all the young listeners, before you would stream things,
you'd go to Best Buy where there was rows and rows of movies. But on that note, Menti, do that thing.
You can find the show Welcome to Fireside everywhere online at Welcome to Fireside on all your social media of preference, except for it's just a couple. So, you know, don't try all of them because we're there, but like we're not.
We'll
so.
Have more next month. We say that every month.
Yeah, that's true. But at Welcome to Fireside or WelcomeToFireside.com is a better choice. Once again, I'm Menti.
Features.
I'm Baby Huey.
And I'm Mr. Mauer. Don't forget to check us out on the OG Podcast Network. That's OGPodcastNetwork.com or the app.